three, two, and one.
Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. I don't know what it's like at your place, but at my place, it is a gorgeous day. The sky is incredibly, beautifully blue. Things are greening up. It's a good day. Hope you find yourself at a good day. I have such incredible news to give you today, but I think what we're going to do is start out with a little story that I received that I just love. And if you love pets and dogs and just how good people work with one another, you're going to love this story. It's called God at the Post Office. First of all, I didn't know that God resided in the post office, but I found out that God did. And this is a little story that was sent by a mother of a small child who is 4 years old, and her name is Meredith. Meredith had a little dog by the name of Abby, and Abby died. And Meredith was very upset about her dear Abby dying, and so she told her mother she wanted to write a letter to God so that God would recognize Abby in heaven. Well, Mom wasn't going to argue with her, so she got the paper and pencil out, and she started to write the little letter to God, introducing God to the dear little dog, Abby. Well, Meredith had two pictures of Abby. Put the two pictures in the envelope, and so they addressed it to God in heaven, and of course had to put two stamps on it because, as Meredith said, it's a long way to heaven. So, they put their return address on it, and they dropped it in the mailbox at the post office. And Meredith was absolutely certain that the letter would get to heaven. And, of course, Mom said she wasn't about to disillusion her. So, a little later, they went on a trip, and when they came back, there was a package wrapped in gold foil paper sitting on the front porch, and it was addressed to Meredith. So they took the package inside and they opened it, and there inside was a little book. And the book was called When Your Pet Dies, and it was by Mr. Rogers, the Fred Rogers who had a television show directed to little children. And on the front cover was the letter that they had written to God in its envelope. And it was opened, and on the opposite page was one of the pictures of Abby taped to the page, and on the back page of the little book was the other picture of Abby, and there was a handwritten note on pink paper. And it said, "Dear Meredith, I know that you will be happy to find out that Abby arrived safely and soundly in heaven. Having the pictures you sent me was a big help, because I recognized Abby right away. You know, Meredith, she isn't sick anymore. Her spirit is here with me, just like it stays in your heart, young and running and playing. Abby loved being your dog, you know. Since we don't need bodies in heaven, I don't have any pockets to keep things in, so I'm sending you your beautiful letter back with the pictures so that you will have this memory book to keep. One of my angels is taking care of this for me. I hope this little book will help. Thank you for your beautiful letter. Thank your mother for sending it. What a wonderful mother you have. I picked her especially for you. God blesses you every day. And remember, I love you very much. And by the way, I am in heaven, and everywhere there is love. Signed, God." So now we know that God resides in the post office. I loved the story. I thought it was a remarkably beautiful story because here was a person that picked up this letter, and instead of just putting it in the trash or in a file where lost mail goes, they took the time to send this little book to this darling little grieving child who certainly lifted her day and would be a childhood memory for her, and of course the mother. So first of all, I thought it was a beautiful story. I wanted to share this with you. But then, as I was reading the story, it reminded me of an Akashic reading that I had recently done for someone. Now, a lot of readings that I do has, when they talk about missions, the missions are quite glorious. And, you know, there are people out there doing some incredibly wonderful work. Like Oprah, for instance, just recently opened a school in Africa. She's got the funds to do it, but she made the effort and she did it. There's lots of people like that who are doing wonderfully work for everyone. And so sometimes I think it's easy for us to think, well, what's my big job to do? What do I need to do? What can I do to make a big difference in the world? And when I read that little story about the dog, Abby, and about the time that it took for that person to send that letter to that child, certainly there was displaying there a form of love that is very special to the spiritual hierarchy, going all the way up to God themselves. And looking back at this reading from the Akashic Records, what it said to this individual that because of the way that they were created when they were brought into form, and I'll get to that in a minute, that what this individual is doing is they're going to be like a mirror reflecting the love force to Earth because they have a heart that is filled with love. And this is what I thought was interesting. You have a thought that you must complete something spectacular in your spiritual life, but we say to you that you are spectacular in your everyday activities. When you help someone in the very simple way, you have done rather a common thing. You breathe life of the divine into that object. Helping someone cross the street that is having a problem negotiating the walk is a gift of the heavenly star if it is done in love, and sharing the divine thought of the Creator with someone who needs the companionship of love. Reading to someone who is sick and who needs company is no less fulfilling your destiny of loving work in the world than someone who sets up a new school in a foreign land who needs that structure. It is how a soul uses the abilities and opportunities that have been presented to them that counts. So what this is saying is that when we perfect the little things in life and we do them well and we do them consciously, it is the conscious awareness of what one does that is of great importance. And so I put the two together. In other words, this person at the post office saw this opportunity to be of assistance, to love this little child that was grieving. And from the sound of the letter, I'm sure they did it in great conscious awareness. And so that is perhaps what my message is today, that we do the little things in life. We do them consciously. We do them in love. And yes, it is a great service to others, but it is a great service to us. So, my dear friends, if you wish to call in at 877-876-5227, please do. Share your own story of love. Call in to find out perhaps what your connection might be in the spiritual realm. Maybe want a little bit of a reading from the cherubim. Or you have a general question, please feel free to call 877-876-5227. Canadian listeners can call in at 888-810-8322.
BBS Radio, you want to get on the air?
Yes, please.
Yes.
So I hear a caller calling in, and your name, please.
Hi, Hi, this is Allison.
Oh, Allison, my dear, I gather you like that little story about the little doggy.
Well, not only that, but tying it into your reading, and I just wanted to say I was sitting here listening to your show, and I was smiling, and then I was just hearing the overall message, and it's beautiful, and I just wanted to call in with that comment.
Oh, you are so sweet, dear. Truly. One of those kind little things that the little angels do consciously to make someone else feel good. I just love it.
Oh, I thought I'd send a little love your way. And to say I love you. I love your message today. It's great. Okay?
So. I've got my little love vacuum cleaner just sucking it in.
Okay, so you made me smile. I just wanted you to know.
Thank you, dear heart.
Okay.
You made me smile.
Okay. You have a great show.
Thank you, darling.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. It is so interesting doing little love things consciously. So that being the message for the day, we'll continue. And apparently with someone else. Who's calling in? What's your name, dear?
Hi, Carolyn. This is Joanne. How are you today?
Hi, Joanne.
I was thrilled to hear that connection that you made. Perhaps a little more personal to me than other people, but I was thrilled to hear that. Brought tears to my eyes.
Aw.
I have a question for you.
Of course.
I would like to know if you can help me with it.
We'll try.
Thank you so much. I am having a lot of trouble trying to get a piece of land taken care of through the red tape that you have to build a house. And I'd like to know if the angels would let me know if it's worth it for all the trouble that it has taken and money that it has taken to try and build a house for my husband and myself, or it's just not going to work.
I did get your message in the email about that and haven't had the opportunity to answer that more fully.
Okay.
But let's just take a moment and see what we can find briefly.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me connect. What they are saying is that what you want to do is an excellent thing because of the connection that you have with the land itself that has set up it's a vibrational connection. And not only does it bring you happiness, but the connection itself is a good connection energy-wise to the planet. So what they mean by this is there are certain places that are found on the planet that has the kind of energies that, I'm trying to explain this, homogenize with your own soul. There is an interaction. There's a comfort zone. And it is because of, oh, this is interesting, connections that we've had in the past. So what they're saying is that you had a connection in the past with this land.
Okay.
And it's one of the reasons why you're there right now, is what they're saying.
Wow.
But understand that there is human, well, I'm seeing individuals jostling with one another. In other words, there is a struggle over this piece of land. And we know that someone else is indeed making an effort to have ownership of that land. And right now, it hasn't been decided as to who is going to win in that struggle. And so, if this is something that you want, you have to send out the energies that is going to manifest this ownership for you. What they are saying, Joanne, is that when you have two forces in the world, and they are of equal forces, and they are facing one another, and what they're showing me is like two waves that is coming together, hitting one another.
Okay.
That this scatters, and that you have to be more clear in your manifesting. And so I get this question a lot, Joanne, how does one manifest? And I know, I'm aware that you're taking actions to fulfill this, but while you are doing this, my question would be, are you mentally manifesting your home being on that property? Are you, in addition to taking the steps to make this your own, are you also manifesting mentally the house on the land along with you and your husband feeling the joy there? Are you doing that?
You know, I haven't, because I really wasn't aware of a clear-cut path of how to do the manifesting.
Okay, well, you know, there's lots of people, there's lots of ways that you can manifest. One of them is, first of all, manifesting happens when you have a very clear-cut picture in your mind's eye, in your third eye, of what you want there. And so if you want to build a house, for instance, you're not going to just say, I want to build a house there. You want to have in your mind what that house is going to look like. Is it two-story? Is it a rancher? Is it something very modern-looking, traditional, or is it something rustic?
Okay.
Envision in your mind as clearly as you can what this house looks like, and see this house, where it would sit on that piece of property. In other words, you just don't want to say, well, you want a house on that property. Pick a specific spot in your mind as to where you would build that house.
Okay.
See that house completed. See as many details as you can. Then, emotionally, you paint a picture of how you would feel. In other words, you see this house completed. You feel the joy of living in it. You see and feel the pride of ownership. And so, as many of these details that you can fill in, take some time with it. If you need to, like, write this out on a piece of paper, the concept behind it is to see and feel emotionally. And one of the things that is very helpful is joy. So you want to feel the happiness and the joy and the glory of the two of you living in this home, and how you would feel. Maybe even see pictures of entertaining people there. They're coming maybe even with a housewarming gift.
Okay.
And anything that you can build up,
mm-hmm.
because what they are telling me is you've got to place more impetus behind your effort. The two waves are even now in their force. You have to up the ante, so to speak. You've got to bring more power to your side.
Okay.
And part of that is visualization.
Okay.
Now that is one way that you visualize. The basic rules are the same.
Mm-hmm.
The joy, the picture. See yourself being there, seeing it in its perfection, because all creation starts with thought.
Yes.
And true, you put into place the other things that you need to, you know, divide the land and the legal aspect and the financial aspect, but that sort of comes later. The first thing has to be in to create in thought. It's like a blueprint. You're making your blueprint for yourself living there. Now, other ways that people do it is it is like they're up in the sky and they're looking down at that place, and they are seeing from up above what you are creating in that place. But generally, it's the same sort of thing.
Okay.
Now, some people will say you take all of those pictures and you put them in a pink bubble, which means love. And it's like you tap that bubble up into the universe, so to speak. This is your quest. This is what you want. And you send it back out into the universe, expecting it to be answered the way you are envisioning it. Now, I might add to this that there might be other reasons associated with the project that is not in your best interest. I'm not saying that that is so. I'm just saying that whenever we wish to create something, there is always a possibility that we are asking for something that's not in our best interest because maybe there will be other problems coming out of that. And I'm not saying that has anything to do with your desire here.
Okay.
This is a general overall thing that when we create and we send out these pictures, you also want to add the aspect of this or something better.
Okay.
Do you think you know how to do this?
Yes.
Now, if you have any doubts, do a little search on the internet about manifesting.
Okay.
You might come up with a few other ideas and thoughts, but Joanne, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And there is nothing so grand as people working together to build something that is a goal and a dream. And, you know, I would say to you and to everybody else that listens, do dream. Dream beautifully, dream well, and bring your dreams into creation by manifesting them.
Thank you, Carolyn.
My pleasure, Joanne.
Thank you so much.
You take care, dear.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, my friends, manifesting, whether it is for a project like a home or whether it is a project of just spreading love, is almost a discipline. And it's like so many things in life, we have the power to bring into our lives those things that we truly desire. As souls who were created by a spark that came forth from God, we are a spark. This is what our soul is. And the Creator of all wishes only the best for us. And each and every one of us is worthy of attaining our heartfelt goals as long as they are in love. Yes, and your name?
Hey, Carolyn, it's Susan.
Hi, Susan.
How are you doing?
We're doing great, dear.
Good.
What can we do for you?
I wanted to find something out. Remember when I called a couple of Saturdays ago about a symbol that I call the staff? It was on your Saturday show.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, things have been developing since then.
I just love it. You know, spirit is like this. They kind of get us started with a little clue, and it goes on from there. Isn't it wonderful?
Oh, it's like being on a roller coaster someday.
The excitement of living the spiritual.
Oh, I'm telling you.
So what are you finding out, Susan?
Well, it's interesting because, like I said on the other show, it had been a couple of years ago since the symbol was given to me. And then all of a sudden in that show, it came back to me in a very big way when it blew out the back of my head.
Yeah, well, that would be a big way.
Did you pick up
the pieces yet?
Well, I'm trying. I'm not putting them back in there, but boy, things are really happening now.
Ah, you are developing very quickly, aren't you?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's an interesting thing associated with that symbol. I have the name of a lady that I've been communicating with who lives in New York. Of course, I live in Georgia. And I got her name actually through the death of a friend of mine, and we've connected. And I talked to her today for a very long time. And as we talked, we realized that when we were remembering past lives, they were exactly in the same place, almost the same sort of memories, that sort of thing.
Are you saying that you and this lady in New York are sharing a common memory?
Very, very close to being that. And
as the same individual?
No.
Okay, just the same place?
Yeah, but it's interesting because this symbol came into the discussion, and I was telling her about the symbol and about what happened on the show. And we had this whole discussion. We hung up. She calls me back, and she says, "Oh, my gosh, I got to tell you something." She said, when I was writing down, you know, things to remember and to meditate on that we had talked about, she said, I realized I had been given that same symbol back in the year 2000. And we were discussing some King Tut tapes that I want to transcribe that had been channeled, and we realized that the symbol we were seeing is actually on, like, the pharaoh's tombs where they've got their arms crossed and they're holding something that looks like a staff, that was that symbol. And this week, that symbol took on another little twist in that it kind of looks like a candy cane, but where it starts to curve, it comes down. And I saw that actually connecting with the spine. And we were discussing this, and it was like, you know, it was almost like she and I were of the same soul because we were having so many common things to happen. But I would like to find out if you can give me some more information about that symbol and if she and I are connected at the soul level, aspect-wise.
I can't recall all of the conversation, Susan, but as I think on it, I believe, was it true that one of the things that we were discussing, that this had to do with the raising of Kundalini?
Well, it depends, because it does something different for everybody. This was a symbol you said was an Atlantean symbol and was very powerful and protected and was taken by Isis to Egypt.
Yeah, and she brought her teachings to Egypt.
Right, and you told me that I was one that taught that symbol.
Isn't it interesting how our companions are coming together? You know this, Susan. I'm not telling you something that you don't know, but spiritual truth has a way of coming forth, and then they are hidden because things happen in the world that spirit doesn't want these things controlled by others. And so a lot that happened in Egypt had been, how shall we say, gone underground to come back another time. Now, some of them did come back during the Middle Ages, again, was trying to be controlled, went underground, and right at this moment, these things are surfacing. And not only are they surfacing, but what I'm finding is that the people that we worked with when the truth was on the surface the last time have come back again, and we're connecting with one another. And I have found that these groups, whether it is in Atlantis, whether they were high priests, whether they were initiates, we're finding a way to come back, to touch one another again. And these groups seem to take this journey to the same places, because when you're spiritual workers and you're working in a particular area, we come across what some might consider golden periods. You know, they're open for this new growth, and so we come together and we touch, and this information you're going to find, I do believe, that what has happened is you have turned a key. You are starting to go into this, and I believe part of this is happening because your soul wants you to remember. Your soul wants you not only to work with these things, but your soul wants you to remember. And if we can get some information back to help you remember, I'm delighted to do that. And I'm sure, though, right now you are meditating on these things, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So your question was, I want to repeat it, make sure I got the right question. This young lady in New York, number one, you want to know if the two of you are connected in some what manner?
Yeah, if it's a different, that we're an expression aspect of the same soul, or if we worked so closely together in these past lives that that's what it's about. Because there were just too many things that were just the same. I mean,
you're in there working at in the same workshop.
Exactly.
Okay, let's see what we can find out, Susan. It's always interesting. I never know what kind of answer I'm going to get until I connect. I mean, I can tell you what my own opinion is, but
right.
That's not worth too much. Let's see what we can find out.
Right.
Give me a minute. What they're showing me is that this, what you say is a staff with this crook in it,
mm-hmm.
that you also carried that. It was something that you worked with, but you also carried it, a smaller version. And that was the outward symbol of your ability that you taught others that feel that, I don't want to say energy, think back and try and connect to the feeling that you had when you actually carried that symbol. That was, as we said, the outward sign of who and what you were. You had your own students. You had your own initiates, and this one, this will be interesting. You were the teacher. The one in New York was the student then, back at that particular time.
Mm.
And it is good to have this connection because you both are in the awakening process. You haven't picked up enough stones yet to see the information underneath it's hidden. Probe a little more. Meditate a little bit more on it, because what this is a reminder not only of a skill that you had, but the power that you had. That you were the teacher, as I felt originally. The raising of the Kundalini is part of this process, that it is not only raising of the Kundalini, but it is what can happen after one raises the Kundalini, and that is the connection to Source. That this is what you taught your students, and that they are reminding you that this must not be done quickly, that it must be done safely, that this is what you worked with, that working with these energies can be dangerous if you force it and if you move into it too quickly, that you must take the time to allow this to be implemented in a very harmonious manner. And this is what they are instructing you to do now, is to be patient, to take your time. Do not be so anxious to fulfill your spiritual life that you rush into this. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it might blow something else out besides the back of my head, huh?
Yes, it can. That you must go very slowly with this, and you're dealing with powerful energies, and you in particular, how should I say this, has more power than, say, most people who are raising, just beginning to raise those energies because of who you were. You controlled vast power. And they are telling me that your physical, right at the moment, is not caught up. The container is not perfected enough to contain all of the power that you have available to you. Mm. Now, what they are reminding me of is the energies that are coming in March, April, and May. Go slowly. Allow those energies to integrate. More of your cells will be crystalline at that point of time. They're showing me 60%. You're on a par with most people at this point, that you have converted about 60% of your cells to the crystalline energy.
Mm-hmm.
And not to get too deeply into this until it's more closely to 100%. So work slowly on this.
Okay.
You're dealing with a very powerful energy, and when you are meditating, if you were ever given the inclination or the sign or the symbol to stop for a while, do that. Recognize that as you walk this path, that your soul will send the sign to you that you must stop.
Okay.
Because you are a soul that has great enthusiasm for what you do, but what you are working with is very powerful. And if you receive any intuitive messages that you should stop for a while, the purpose behind that is so that your physical can catch up to the power that you can unleash.
Interesting.
Well, all you have to do is do a little reading about this. People who have raised these forces too quickly. You see, we don't have the personal guidance as a teacher and a student that we used to have when, in ancient cultures. In ancient cultures, we had people that we could converse with, that we could touch shoulders with, who could direct us personally. Oh, this is how you do it. This is what you need to be wary of. And so, for the most part, we're doing these things on our own. So, what you have is a great magnificence. Just take your time with it. That's all that they're saying. Nothing to be fearful of. But do it slowly.
So is this symbol not to be meditated on?
Oh, no, not at all. What they're saying is just go into the meditations. But if you receive during the meditations, if you receive warning to go slower, just to go slower.
Okay, all right.
I've heard
pay attention.
Yes, just be aware. Mm-hmm. I think the secret of this, not that it's a secret, but the word of this is to be aware. As you are, and of course awareness is true in everything. They are not in any way saying not to do this. They are saying that when you go into this, just be aware. Be aware of the symbols around you. Be aware of the way the energies feel. If you get a direction that you should slow up,
then just honor that.
Okay.
Stop for a while. That's all they're saying. It's because you hold some great power there. Now, aside from what we're telling you, I have been in King Tut's tomb.
Mm-hmm.
I have been to the museum in Cairo. I saw his many items that were buried with him that is in Egypt, and his sarcophagus was in a wooden box that had gold foil over it. You don't usually see this. You do see it when you go to the museum. And the characters that were on this gold box are not the regular characters that you see in the hieroglyphics. There's a great deal of symbolism, which I could not read. But it was very obvious that what these symbols were, they were mystical, metaphysical symbols. Tut was closely related to Akhenaten, which you're probably aware of.
Right.
Yes. Akhenaten was a soul that had attained Christ consciousness. And what he passed on to Tut would have been very mystical experiences. And I'm sure that is what was on the box that held his sarcophagus. These were pharaohs who practiced many of the occult metaphysical disciplines. And I want to see if what you were doing is connected to that. Wait a minute. The cherubim are saying most definitely you were a part of that school, they're saying. So there was a great deal of occult metaphysical knowledge that was not held by, they're telling me very few in Egypt at that time even understood what they were working with, that this was a very closed inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
It certainly does.
I tell you, Sharon, keep me abreast of the new things that are going along. I just love all of these stories, dear.
Well, yeah.
And
maybe.
While you're doing all of it, may I say to you, have fun in your play.
Well, I am, and every day's an adventure.
Indeed, it's the way it should be.
Okay.
You take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, my friends, we've had some exciting things happen today, I think. And one of the things I want to mention to you is a message that Archangel Michael has sent out. And again, it is about the March energies. And we have another caller, and your name, please.
Hi, Carolyn. It's Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, darling. What can I do for you?
Well, I wasn't going to call in today. I was just going to listen, but something told me
I needed to call in. Yourself.
something told me I needed to call in because the angels had a message that I wasn't getting.
You got a message that you weren't getting? Is this what you said?
In other words, yes.
Okay, so what's the question you're asking me?
Well, was there a message from my angels?
Oh, okay.
Team?
Now, which angel are you talking about? Are you
I
talking
don't
about
know.
The guardian angel?
I don't get it. I'm not getting who it's from. It's just that I was told to come in and call in and get a message.
Oh. And like an obedient child, you called in.
All right.
Oh,
you're a puzzle piece here. Okay, we'll see what we can figure out. Okay, so you think you got a message that your angel is trying to connect with you, and for whatever reason, your telephone's turned off.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know, Nancy. We're going to see what we can find out for you. You know, Carolyn Evers doesn't have a clue here, so we have to connect into this. Your angel is with you. Let me see. He's standing behind you. I'm taking time because I'm looking opposite. In other words, you and he are opposite from me. And so he is standing a little to your left. And he has a book in his hand. He's not holding it flat. He's holding it like, if you're presenting a book to somebody, it's not flat in his hand, it's kind of standing up. He's holding it so it's lengthwise, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And he's holding your book of records.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, let's see what this is about. Were you the one that we talked about, the key?
Yes.
He's saying he handed you a key earlier so you would unlock this. And let me see what the key is, because the key is just a representation of how you get into this.
Okay.
He is showing me a lot of golden light around this key. And this is the energy. This is God's energy. He is saying that you think... This is true of all of us, dear, that you're meditating enough, but you're not, because you haven't reached that plateau where you can easily get into your own records. And now he's talking about the records that is not all of the accumulation of everything that you've done, but the records that you have with you now for your mission, for what you need to be doing in this lifetime, and that when you meditate, use the key. And what the key is God's energy that is in the golden light. And what he is saying to you is when you meditate, you clear your space first through a prayer. You clear all the you say a prayer with the intention of clearing all of the space, and of course you know this, to do it in an area where you have silence, where you have quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Do something, do all the necessary things like that appeal to you, like using sacred oils or music or candles. And after you have set the scene, it's like setting the table for dinner. You bring in all the little pieces that make this sacred. And then the key is to envision the golden light of God's energy and bring that down around you and sense what it feels like. Recognize the difference in the way this energy feels. The golden light that you are bringing down has a different, he's saying, density. It's lighter. It almost has the feeling of fluffiness, like a cloud.
Okay.
And see yourself in that and meditate in that in that picture. Meditate in that picture. You're in God's love, and call in this angel. He is showing me golden light around him. And when you bring down God's golden light, you're connecting to his golden light, and he will lead you. And you ask him to lead you for that connection to your higher mind. Your higher mind is the gateway to the cosmos, and that's where he will lead you.
Wow.
So dear Nancy, that's the message, sweetheart.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Carolyn.
Let me know how it goes.
Will do.
Okay.
Take
care. Now, to my friends out there, if you have not signed up for the Conclave call in March, please do. Go to ArchangelMichaelsConclave.com so that when I send out the newsletter, you will be given the information for the conference call this month. Archangel Michael has told us that what is happening this month is that energies are finally arriving here that came from a supernova that actually exploded perhaps 160,000 years ago. It is reaching our area now. The explosion itself happened in 1987, and it is now that part of this energy has come here. This is the energies that we are working with this March. So, my dear friends, get on the conference call. He tells us again that those who were not here last month to receive one of his warrior angels, that he will assign one to you, that we have a role to play in achieving world peace besides clearing the human physical. The reason that this warrior angel is being assigned to the light workers who are willing to attend the conference call is they're going to play a role in achieving world peace. So please, my friends, take the time, get on the get the newsletter, make the intention that you will meet with Archangel Michael on March 17th. We have work to do. And so to all of you out there, I send you my blessings and my love. Until the next time. Goodbye.